welcome everybody to Capes and Scowls West. This is our December 20th reviews issue part one, in which we will be discussing Batman Last Night on Earth book three, Wonder Woman Dead Earth book one. But first we have the one shot Dark Knight Returns, The Golden Child, written by Frank Miller, with pencils and inks by Raphael Grandpa, and colors by Jordi Belair. So,
colors are pretty important, especially for one point in this book.
Yeah, colors are very important. Art in general. I love the art in this book. It reminds me a little bit of Ian Bertram a lot, but like the sort of jagged line work, I guess.
Lots of interior lines and things.
Yes.
Yeah, there is a...
kind of like a more chaotic... Sana Takeda.
Yeah, I mean, Sana is very, very anime heavy.
Or
manga heavy, excuse me, in her art style.
Well, the weird part is this looks like Frank Miller's characters. He did a really good job of
copying
him fairly well.
Looking through it, there is a, like, the outlines are very Klaus Janson. Like, he tried to emulate a little bit of the Frank Miller look from the original Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah. I guess quick plot overview of this before we get too much into it. Superman and Wonder Woman have two children. They are in Gotham. Darkseid and the Joker have teamed up to rig the upcoming gubernatorial election.
So, and for a quick backstory, too, for this Joker who is in this, we don't know who he is, but he's not the original one. The original one is dead.
Yeah. And y'all have to take the lead on that, because this is the only Batman Frank Miller thing that I've read, so.
Do you think you could read Master Race without reading the other two?
I think so.
I'll give you Master Race. Anyway, yeah. Sorry.
No, that's cool. I think... Yeah, there's actually not a whole lot of, like plot, per se, because there's just a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
This is a, wordy tone poem about symbolism and what it is to be a symbol and what those symbols mean to the general populace. And, youth versus the establishment.
I think it's, I was mentioning to Nat and Kat before this started that Frank Miller's narration in this is, like, fantastic. I've never seen something with, as omniscient as his narration, also being as, like, psychically close as it is, because each time it goes, like, from character to character to character, and you almost feel like each of those characters is responsible for narrating, like, that the page that they're on, even though it's clearly some sort of omniscient, like, narrator who's really obsessed with repetition.
There's this was a case for me of being totally overwhelmed, which is, interestingly enough, was the first way I felt when I read The Dark Knight Returns for the first time, was almost that I didn't even know how to feel about it, because I was like, there's so much on every page, whether it be so much character work in the backgrounds, or so many word balloons, or so many lines just in general. I'm like, I have to stop and try to read each page individually, but I don't know if I can, because I am feeling like, what the hell's happening right now, and I need to go to the next page. So I can say I liked it, but I can say that I'm probably not intelligent enough to get all of what is being spoken about, more than theme, but actual content. This is big. This is very big, and it's very much a reflection of our current political climate and what can be gleaned from this. Also, the comparisons of our current political situation comparing to Darkseid and Joker, who are considered two of the most evil beings in all of DC. It's pretty overt.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, that was actually my least favorite aspect of this book, which was the politics, which I usually really like politics, but I feel like...
I'm shocked.
Yeah. No, I know, right? I knew that he would be shocked by that. But I thought it kind of, that aspect kind of took away from the whole Jonathan and Laura Kent.
So the big thing with Frank Miller.
Overline.
Even in the last few, it's always got some political background in it. So I can't say that I'm shocked that that's in here because that's his norm kind of deal. My biggest thing was, it's not even necessarily the politics of it. There's just, like, certain things when I was reading this. I was just like, what the fuck is going... Why am I reading this?
Yeah. It's like, I got it. I understand why he put that in there. But I just thought it was kind of gratuitous. And especially having Darkseid and the Joker, like, be responsible for this obviously rigged
thing.
His first one was the 80s, and it had to do, I think, with Ronald Reagan.
It was Reaganomics, for sure.
And I know Frank Miller is a big, like, Democrat, I guess, or whatever. Yeah. Socialist, essentially.
Well, see, and the other part of it is like, you're right, and now that I think about it, that's probably what it was, is they're like, well, this is about Jonathan and Laura, and they're like, politics, and I'm like, but...
It
upset the balance a little bit.
It's interesting for me, because typically I'm all like, oh, yes, the politics of the story. Stop super punching each other in the face and, like, let's get into real human politics. And in this, I'm just like, let's skip the politics and get back to Jonathan Kent, like, destroying Darkseid with his, you know, like, laser beam vision. I don't even know. It's not, like, laser vision.
Yeah, like they call it a different thing, even.
Yeah, pure neutron star energy vision.
Yeah. Like that, yeah.
I like her
costume a lot.
Yeah, you know what? Let's talk about the characterization, since, like, a lot of it was so... I was really, really intrigued by the Golden Child himself, Jonathan Kent, just because it was, like, almost this weird, omniscient version of Superman. Like, he felt like he was a god that was learning about humanity as he got older.
See, and that's the thing that I didn't quite understand, because the whole point of Wonder Woman giving him to Superman was to bring him down to Earth, so I was trying to understand the point.
Well, he's the positive force, because initially he like, views grown-ups as being idiots, and then as we do the time skip and he's more seasoned, I guess... He actually he's 4 when we first see him. I think he's like 10 in the main part of the story.
Damn, he's really short.
There is a time jump.
I'm like, I've seen your dad and your mom. How are you this small? I figured he'd have like a 12-pack by now.
Right. A few years later.
Yeah. And I just, to me, it felt like he was very empathetic to humanity because of being the true, you know, the son of Superman. But then there's this sort of gapped idea of Superman is seen walking through the doorway with Laura, like, saying goodbye, essentially, and then we never see him, and we certainly don't see Batman.
But I think the whole point is, you mentioned this is, like, a youth one.
Right. But that's, like, and that's the thing, is what exactly happened in between the pages, you know? Mm-hmm. Did they all die? Because this seems like the world never got better.
But she got answers from her text messages from him.
That's true, I guess. So he is around.
Yeah.
So,
but I mean, the thing was with this is, I don't even necessarily think that the politics had to be in, like, and I know it's a Frank Miller thing, but I don't think they would have had to be interceded in this to be a kind of, to even have Darkseid and Joker trying to taint something necessarily, because they could have gone about it a different way.
Well, that was the villain for Batwoman is essentially politics. Her adversary is what can happen to the people if they go in the wrong direction. And that's why she's leading the mob to take the power back.
Yeah.
Whereas the two kids of, we'll call them the super children, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sure.
The Wonder Kids. are very much above the story. And, I mean, they're always drawn above the story.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's their intro to literally flying around and, like, discussing humanity, like, at large.
I think that that's their point, is that they're on the god tier, so they're dealing with the god problem, and Batwoman, although she's not always on the same side as the twins, is dealing with the political problems on Earth, like, down.
Yeah.
So it's the two levels of adversaries.
Like I said, I really like her costume.
Yeah, I love the art in this book. I mean, I'm a fan of Rafael Grandpa for many, many years now, and so it's really cool to see something so out in the open for people to read, because his stuff is very weird. He's got a lot of lines on the interior. It's a very thin line, which is interesting, because I think these are, like, I call them the students of Frank Quitely. Like, Frank Quitely is the progenitor of the ugly person style that's almost got this level of realism. And then there's, like, offshoots off of this. Because this gets into being cartoony, but not as cartoony as Ian Bertram, who's very cartooned with his proportions and eyes. Yes. So, but they're all, like, offshoots of that same, like, heavy, lots of interior lines, lots of texture. So,
yeah, I just, cool. I mean, for me, I didn't care for what I read, because I didn't quite like, I mean, I don't know. There's just, like, weird points when I was reading it, and I was like, why is this in here?
Yeah, there's a lot, I feel like this is going to require me to reread several times before I'm like, okay, wait, what did I really see?
Well, part of me also feels like they stuffed so much into one thing that they kind of overwhelmed it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, I think if they did this as a three-part or a two-part, or at least gave them, if Frank Miller was given more pages, but then again, there's also Strikes Back, and he just, like, wrote himself into a hole. But.
Right. I think this one-and-done side story within the Dark Knight Returns universe, which seems to have, like, an epic conclusion, is interesting.
Yeah.
But it's a lot.
I liked it. I liked how dense it was, and, it's really bang for your buck, too.
So the other part of me is just like, you know what I want? I want someone to do an offshoot of Wonder Woman in her universe and how she became the Queen of Thanoskin.
I would I'd love to read that in a heartbeat.
I would, too. I'd be like, write that.
Bring Azarello back.
Uh-huh. Yes. Master Race was amazing. Like I said, I will give you Master
Race. Bring Azarello and Cliff Chang. all right. Well, next on the list is something that I have been excited about, losing my mind since it first was announced. And that is Wonder Woman Dead Earth, written and illustrated by Daniel Warren Johnson, with colors by Mike Spicer. This is what I wanted. Actually, I didn't know what I wanted. Let's start there. I wanted a cool Wonder Woman story. I don't know about doing a post-apocalyptic Wonder Woman story, but turning out an exploration of her love of humanity. And there's so much in this book. They even cover Wonder Woman's origin story quite briefly. This is what happens to a Wonder Woman when all of her vestiges are taken from her and she wakes up alone.
What armor but still is
wanting
that?
To save humanity.
That she's wearing, I recognize that.
The armor that she's wearing?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I honestly think it's something that maybe was like, of a Batman contingency plan before.
Well, do you think it's a conglomeration of some of her other ones? Because that, it looks familiar.
I don't know. It was on the wall.
I mean, I know that.
But so, my guess is that Batman made armor for everybody to face some sort of threat that was coming, and it's not her normal clothes, but she said it's good enough. So. Yeah. It's like, this is just insane. Batman has the purple gloves.
I was gonna say, I don't know if you noticed that.
There's omissions in this that are, like, specific. The fact that she doesn't have her bracelets or gauntlets, depending on what you, the term you want to use. She refers to them gauntlets in the book, and that she doesn't have all of her powers. She can't fly.
Yeah, I was gonna say, she's not as strong, can't fly.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, kind of depowered a little bit, which is,
I mean, it's probably purposeful, because at that point,
yeah,
when she's just, like, literally mowing, she just has to grab a spear and just pikes things at that right. point.
Right. Yeah, because, real full-powered Wonder Woman in a world full of regular people is just unfair.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, and also then it gives us the opportunity to see her, like, gain those powers back, too, which is always, like, pretty
I'd be
epic.
Curious if she will have other powers, or either that, or she'll find different Greek relics instead.
Yeah, I think it feels very much like we're having this heroic journey for Wonder Woman, like, is in her own rebirth in her defense of humanity, which is, like, the biggest thing that this is all about, and she keeps saying, I love you, and it's...
Yeah.
It's so straight to the core of what the character is.
Her design, when she puts on the armor first and we get that first reveal, is like, I texted Nat and Kat, like, right after I read it. I was like, that's one of the most metal, like, panels ever. That literally looks like an album cover from, like, 80s, like some ridiculous, like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's Daniel Warren Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know, right?
Which, in once again, he is my favorite creator in comic books, and it oftentimes doesn't feel close. I look at all of these pages and the emotion in characters' eyes, and then you go to an action shot, and it's like bombastic and fast and explosions, and the onomatopoeia being part of the artwork, the way that Eisner does it, the way it's done in manga.
I think we need to talk about what Cheetah looks like, because she's terrifying. She literally has, like, a cheetah hand.
Yeah, and how is she still alive?
Well, and that's the other part, is it's just there's a ton of unanswered questions, because obviously there's mutated beings walking around, and she doesn't necessarily know. No one knows what actually happened.
Right. Also, Wonder Woman wearing Batman's utility belt is something I didn't know I needed, but that is so freaking cool, and it's like, I can't wait to see, like, is she going to throw some batarangs at some fools? Is she going to use the grappling gun as a lasso? Because, once again, where's the lasso?
Yeah, she doesn't have any of her spare.
No, so, like, what can she, you know, what else will she be doing? I also like, she's so, like, she's ripped without being huge.
Yeah.
Like, she looks so freaking powerful and, like, so soft at the same time. Like, she's never rendered to the point where she's like this beautiful Amazon, but she's always this loving Amazon. And I'm completely in love with this book. It was so great. I read this digitally first and then got a chance to go through and read it in paper, and this is the argument for against digital. It is so beautiful to pore over these pages.
Yeah.
Oh, the brushwork. I like the final page where she's battered and standing strong, and like there's just cuts all over her. Her nose is bleeding, and
but just, she has such soft eyes.
She has such soft eyes. It's like, and that's crazy because this is, you know, it's just a drawing. You know, like,
yeah,
it's just pen and ink on paper with a little bit of color to give context, and it's she has such soft eyes.
Yeah. How many issues of this are there supposed to be? Four.
Was it four? I thought there was only three.
Nope.
Nice.
Four issues.
A bonus issue.
And they're, I think, bi-monthly, so we won't get issue two till February, so.
Yeah, you're right, because I think it's February 2020, and I was like, well.
Nice.
Yeah.
Rude, I understand. You know, take your time to get right, but I'm also not going to remember anything.
I don't know, like, what is there to remember? We know where the journey's going, right? Like, this was the hero's call.
Yeah, exactly. She's, had the call to action.
Yeah.
She's met some allies.
I can't wait, because I know we're going to get, like, a final page where we have her in, like, full Wonder Woman regalia at some point.
Oh, yeah.
It's, like, the full armor, the gauntlets back on.
I just like that moment in time where I just want to be like, hey, did you design this armor, or did you, like, conglomerate this armor? Because this is bothering me. This, like, looks familiar, but it doesn't all at the same time.
You know what it kind of looks like? It kind of has the look of the New 52 alternate armor when she goes to to Hephaestus.
Maybe that's what it is.
And she wears, like, the full-arm bracer and has the leather skirt.
Maybe that's what it is.
And it's the deep red chest plate.
Maybe that's what it is.
So, cool. Nice. Was anybody, like, really negative on the book at all?
No.
I feel like I talked a lot on that, but anyway.
No. Well, no. There was no negativity towards that one.
Yeah. Nope. Can't think of anything.
Cool. All right, well. And finally, in this Black Label Tour de Force...
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my god, I didn't realize they're all Black Label. Oh, alright, last one. We've got Batman, Last Night on Earth, Book 3 by Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo.
Nice.
I don't know. Like, I read it, and I kind of sat there for a while, and I was like, I don't know. I had some good laughs, though. I put this like brown cloth that was coming down the sewer. I put it up over my mouth and then up over my eyes. The Robin would have worn it on the outside of the bowl, wouldn't he?
cut some eye holes into it.
Yeah, right.
What? I mean, I know Scott Snyder definitely wrote his last Batman story. I just don't know if I understand exactly what happened.
I don't really know if any of us do.
I actually thought it was pretty cut and dry.
Okay,
so
enlighten
us. Hearing you, it's just the final plan. There's the big bad with the world-ending device. Batman gets the bat, gets a team together, and then goes and stops it.
But that is very, very surface for the idea that the original Batman let humanity in, and that killed the world. like humanity became the villain itself because of Batman's optimism that humanity would do the right thing.
That's what happens when you don't have a Superman.
I don't know. I guess what? I guess Lex Luthor convinced him to, along with everybody else.
I don't. Do you think that Luthor convinced him? Because for me, I read that as that this was Batman's optimism. Was that no? I would do. The humanity will make the right decision.
I mean, I would also like to point out at one point in this comic, he like the new Batman like ripped some dude's ear off with his teeth, which was nasty. But side point.
Batman or Omega?
I'm pretty sure it was like Batman.
And, like fighting somebody rips his ear off? Okay.
He rips something off with his mouth, and there's blood, and I just like immediately got released. Yeah, right here.
Yeah, that's okay. So I guess if you're going to do a final Batman story, that the only true enemy that you can always have for him is himself, man versus man.
Well, in reality,
man versus self.
Man versus self. Sorry.
In reality, the majority
also versus man.
Yeah, the majority of New 52, I think he was battling himself because you had the Court of Owls telling him, you know,
that's true.
This is where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I liked this because it was an end. You know, there was. And a sense of optimism. I don't know where they get, like, how they do their end thing about getting Superman back.
I didn't quite understand that either.
Also, for some reason, like, it's not an apocalyptic wasteland anymore, too. Like, it looks like, you know, the sun's out, clouds
well,
in the
other
sky.
Part of it is we don't even know how long it's been.
Yeah. That is true.
All I know is there's like a picture of a small child being held by Batman, and it looks terrifying.
Well, and that could just be Gotham in daylight, because it's very specific that we don't actually go into Gotham unless it's nighttime in this whole story.
Yeah, I guess that's true. So and it might still be good. I mean, that would make sense because Omega was trying to protect it.
Yeah, like that was the last home, and it seemed like it was technologically still where it is. Wow, that's gross.
Yeah, I'm calling, that's the one scene that I'm calling bullshit on, though, is because Batman stabs Omega through the throat with a spear, and then he gives, like, a whole monologue after that.
Oh, wow. Like, Omega?
Like, yeah, there's, like, a good, like, 4 or 5 sentence monologue, like, after he just got stabbed right through the neck, which... Him not dying, aside from the point, like, there's no way that he could form, like, coherent sentences.
I almost wonder, and this is because of the God voice that Omega has, like, I'm wondering if he even speaks. Like, if that is just, like, something that's, like, coming out of, like, his straight mind.
I got it was, I mean, he has, like, it has direct... lines down to his mouth.
Well, it is him saying it, but it's I mean the word balloons.
And I got it too because he said in like you know when he was basically killed or when everybody thought he was killed, like he was trying to tell the little girl to run, but he had no teeth and no tongue. So I got that as he like basically has like a rebuilt like. Face
everything
and so like it might be a little mechanical
and
that's kind of what I was wondering too because
well and the fact that Darkseid's head is there like I feel like that means something like that maybe and the choice of the word Omega meaning he has something from the New Gods if it's all New Gods technology then like maybe something else is keeping him alive.
I mean he beats the shit out of a 25-year-old Batman annihilates his ass, so he has to have something.
I gotta say, I don't think I expected it to be the original. Like, that was...
Yeah.
I thought, I mean, the big thing was with this is I think that Scott Snyder was saying, he's like, the real enemy of Batman is Batman.
Yeah.
And here's my point.
That is true.
It is weird. It's like, it's such a strange comic book. I should reread all three together again.
I would. Because it's, I mean, in reality... The worst parts of that entire comic, like the when he's talking, he's like, I told a little girl to run away and she lit me on fire. It took 6 tries. And I was like, all right, I can see where that would break someone.
Well, I think what breaks him is humanity ultimately will always make the right decision. You know, that was even a theme in Dark Knight, right? You know, Joker believed that humanity, when given the tools, will turn on each other.
Yeah.
And in this, they did. Also, Joker's role, I'm very confused.
I don't even know.
I'm like,
I remember at one point in the book, he even himself, he's like, well, I'm going to betray you at some point.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
So, like, Joker was the one who really started the last case that made him believe that. Maybe that was the problem, was Joker opened the door to Batman's mind, that when he opened the door physically, it was all able to break down.
Well, see, that was the other part, is he, because Joker put up the one thing, he's like, you came out of this saying, I never want this to happen to another family again, and he set it up to make it look like his family deserved what happened.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if that was kind of like the domino effect, and then he allowed humanity in. He's like, they're all garbage, they're all trash, look what they've done.
Yeah.
Look how I started my life.
It's weird. It's like, that's a big overhead view of Batman. And ultimately, I'll say I liked it, but it's very much like, I need more perspective on what it was that I actually read.
I think there's still some missing pieces in there, too.
Which is probably, like, deliberate. Oh, there's a lot of, like, gapping. Like, did Omega ever at one point in time use the Endgame engine to heal himself? The thing that created the Batman clones? How many clones deep are we, you know?
That's a really good question. Like,
because people are fairly old. Like, Gordon is almost, you know, deathbed.
He can't see anymore. Yeah. So.
Was I the only one that thought he looked like Stan Lee?
A little bit, with the big ponytail, though.
Yeah, and the mustache, too. Yeah.
And the glasses, I didn't even know it was him until he said who he was. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
It's really like...
Yeah.
I liked Barbara and Grayson's daughter was really cool looking.
Yeah.
Grace. I've never been into, like, shave heads on anybody ever, so I'm like... Maybe a little hair. I want to see what
she
color.
She had a tattoo, almost like she was prisoned at some point in time.
She might have been. I was like, because part of me wants to be like, do you have red hair like mom or black hair like dad?
That's really interesting.
That's basically where that.
And went. That may have actually been the reason for shaving her head was because they don't reveal that until like the last page that it's both, because she just keeps talking to mom, and then she eventually says dad. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh shit, Nightwing.
He had a get some. Yeah. Everybody's got to get some, even in a world that's falling apart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, exactly. Yeah.
Which I guess does give us a good time frame for how long things have been like this. Because she was not around before the events of this.
No, and she's like, what, a teenager?
Yeah, I got it like 16, maybe.
Yeah, that's about where I put it.
That's what I was thinking.
Also, that's kind of an interesting reflection, too, is they recaptured the sins that Batman had. Of taking children and putting them into battle.
Oh, shit, you're right.
Something that happened to them. Which, in a lot of stories, you know, especially in Curse of the White Knight, they really don't love that idea. They frown upon that a bunch.
Well, what was it? He broke Tim's neck, too.
And that's the Heroes in Crisis camera confessional, where he's just, what is it exactly? It says something just like, I take children and I make them into soldiers and they die.
Yeah.
Or something like that. So
That's one of his ultimate sins.
Cool.
And he knows it.
Yep. And cool designs at the end. New looks for the characters.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, the Batman suit is superb. And then the terrified child, even more superb. That was probably the best part to that.
Yeah.
Just the face.
Yeah, and Joker finally gets to live his wildest fantasy, which is to be Robin.
Yeah. Let's not even talk why he's a severed head that still walks around, like, and talk and everything.
He said something about how Alfred... put his head there to, like, as the worst punishment possible, to just stare endlessly into, like, a desert for, like, eternity.
How is a severed head still moving?
With Futurama technology.
Okay.
Well, okay, and that brings up my other question that I'm kind of calling bullshit on. It says Tim Drake made the suit after he broke his neck, and then he helped everybody else. So that means Tim Drake, with just his mouth, built a mech suit for his body.
I mean, not to be that person, but...
Like,
yeah. not to be that person, but if you leave someone with endless amounts of time... Like, prison is a really good line through this. If you leave the people to shit.
I mean,
and
I could see him just dialoguing to the back computer and being like, okay, move piece XC over 30 degrees, do all that.
Okay, fair enough.
And Tim as a character, I mean, he's essentially the closest to actually Batman in terms of intelligence level and like, the way he approaches things. So
when I said that, I was like, yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, but the other half of me can also completely understand how he did it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. That was a really interesting thing.
All right. Yeah, anyway, so cool. Yay. I'm excited to see what DC has up next for Black Label.
Right?
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah, just do it all.
Do it all.
Alrighty.
Anyway, with that, I guess let's sign off then. All right, bye.